So we're going to finish up the notes on pointers today. We left off last time. We had just covered this slide 3.26 on pointer incrementing abuse. And we pointed out that pointer arithmetic allows us to add and subtract from pointer variables regardless of what they point to. And the compiler will figure out the number of bytes for the type of element, the type of object that the pointer points to. And whenever we do incrementing or decrementing on a pointer, it will add the correct number of bytes to get it to the next element that would precede that one or would follow it in an array of those elements or objects. The compiler will do that for us automatically. What the compiler will not do for us automatically is determine if that pointer is pointing to an array of objects or elements. It will assume automatically that the pointer is pointing to an array. It will assume that you are smart enough as a programmer to only do pointer arithmetic on pointers that are pointing inside of an array. And it will assume that you are smart enough to not add beyond the end of the array or subtract where you end up in front of the beginning of the array. And it will further assume that if you do, that you're tough luck. And that's why this slide sort of shows you the fact that if we just have a pointer to a plain, simple, non-array variable like x, and we output its address and its value, everything works fine. But then if we increment it, if we increment that pointer, the compiler then assumes that that is pointing to an array, even though it's not. It goes ahead and increases the address that's stored in that array by the appropriate amount, which in this case is 8 bytes for a double. And then if we then tell it to output or use the target of that pointer, we dereference the pointer to get to what it points to, it will interpret that memory there as the type of data that that pointer is supposed to be pointing to, which in this case is a double, and it'll try and use it as that type, whether that type of data is actually stored there or not. And in this case, we get this extremely low, low value here of some infinitesimally small number. And if you don't think that's an infinitesimally small number, you should be aware that 10, I read somewhere many years ago that 10 raised to the 120th power, okay, which is a very large number, represents a quantity that's larger than the number of subatomic particles in the known universe. You know, obviously some physicists didn't go around counting the number of subatomic particles, but he estimated it. So if a power of 10 great of 120 represents a quantity that's that large, a number to the negative 306 power represents a very infinitesimally small quantity fraction, and it's such that we can be pretty certain that this isn't really a valid double value that's in there. So you just have to be careful, because as Mr. McQueen's little graphic over there shows you, it's kind of like playing with fire and smoking at the same time. So not my graphic. He put that graphic on there. Now here on the next slide, we have a record, a little structure, rectype, which has three fields in it, an integer, a float, and a character. we define a record pointer type called a rec pointer. Okay, anything of rec pointer is a pointer to a rec type, to a structure of rec type. And we can then define an instance of a record, rec one. We then can define rec pointer, array pointer sub 5. So now what is that? That's an array, but it's not an array of records, it's an array of what? It's an array of pointers. Where are they pointing to? Nowhere at the moment. They're all undefined. Okay? Right after that declaration, they're all undefined. Now, the last statement in that first box there, array pointer sub size minus 1 equals address of rec 1, that sets the last rec pointer in the array, which is in the 19th location. That sets it to point to this rec 1 record. We can use arrays of pointers. We can use those in logical manners that we use other arrays. In this case, though, we will need at times to be able to access if it's an array of pointers to structures, we need to be able to dereference the particular pointer that's in one of the array positions, and then access a specific field that's in the structure that particular pointer is pointing to. And we could do it like this, as it's shown here in the field access example. We can have star array pointer sub size minus 1 dot field 1 dot field 2. You'll notice the parentheses around the star array pointer sub size minus 1. That's actually required. We need that because of if we don't have that, we end up with a problem. I think the next slide actually. Oh well. We need those parentheses. If we don't have those parentheses, if we take those parentheses out, if we omit those parentheses, it won't work right. The reason is, the problem is that the member selection operator, the period, has a higher precedence than the asterisk. By having a higher precedence, it means it is evaluated first. It's just like when you say x plus y times z, which gets done first? The multiplication. Why? It has greater precedence. You might wonder then, if this is a problem, why does the asterisk operator have higher precedence than the period? Well, unfortunately, it's due partly because the asterisk operator is an overloaded operator. We use it to mean dereference a pointer, but we also use it to mean what?
Multiplication.
And the fact that it has, because it does have multiple uses, because it is overloaded, if we were multiplying two fields together of two records, if we had two records, R1 and R2, and we wanted to maybe multiply their two of their fields together, if we wanted to say like R1 dot sum times R2 dot sum, right? If we wanted to do that, we can write that out, and that works fine because the dot operator actually executes first. So it goes into those records and gets the sum fields, and then it does the multiplication. So that's why it has to have a higher precedence. But unfortunately, that gives us a problem when we actually have a pointer to a record, and we want to dereference it to get to the field, because since the dot operator has to have a higher precedence, without those parentheses, it would take the point, it would actually first evaluate rate pointer sub size minus one dot field. It would go to where the pointer is stored at, and it would try and treat it as though it was an actual record rather than a pointer to the record. And it would go down below that in memory, and then it would try and treat that as an address to be referenced, and havoc would ensue. So we have to have the parentheses. However, if you look at some old pointer C code, which uses arrays of pointers, you'll see this a lot. You'll see where you'll see star, some array, whatever, bracket, dot, whatever, okay? You'll see that quite often. But that's kind of ugly notation, and there's no doubt about it. And we have to be conscious to remember to put those parentheses around the array pointer whenever we're dereferencing some member that it's of the record that it's pointing to. The Standards Committee cleaned this up, and they added an arrow operator to the language. And the arrow operator is what you really want to use. Don't really write this old code style here of dereferencing a pointer in an array to a structure and then having to put the parentheses and the dot. It'll still work, but it is kind of old style notation. And you're much better off, because it's less likely to make a mistake, if you just use the arrow notation here. So you give the array a pointer name, then you index the particular pointer that you want to be referenced, and then you use the arrow operator, which basically sort of says, follow that pointer to what it points to, and give me this field of what it points to. Question? It depends on how smart the compiler is. It shouldn't, but I won't guarantee it. Okay, but it's going to give you an error either way, one way or the other. Okay. So, there's this question down here at the bottom of this slide. Who can answer this question of, if we're using the same sorting algorithm, if we have two sorting algorithms, or we have two sorting functions, they're both using the same algorithm. They're both either doing bubble sorts or they're both doing selection sorts, we don't care which one. But one of them is sorting an array of pointers, not sorting the actual pointers, but what they point to. And the other one is an array of records, so it's having to sort the records. So the array of records, take for example your next program that you've hopefully started working on now. If you've got an array of computer, let's take the last program we just did. You had an array of computer structures, computer records, right? And you sorted that at times on model, sorted it on price. Let's say we're only sorted on model. Well, let's say we coded that up a little bit differently. Rather than having an actual array of computer records, we decided to have an array of pointers to computer records. Now, that would mean, of course, then that we would have to have allocated a new record for each one that we wanted to store in there and set the pointer to point to it, which is fine. Let's say that's already been done. And now we want to sort it. So we want to sort by model again. And so we would have to dereference the pointer to get to the model that's in that particular record and decide whether to swap it with some other one. So now the question is one of those, would it be faster to sort the array of pointers, or would it be faster to sort the array of records? How many people think it would be faster to sort the array of records? Because you wouldn't have to be dereferencing the pointers. You would have to be taking that extra time. How many of you think it would be the array of pointers, the array of pointers would be faster? You're right. Because, why? You're not moving the records themselves. You're not actually having to copy all of that memory from each of the records around and swapping it. In this case, you're only copying what?
Yes.
The pointer addresses, which are really only going to be about 4 bytes. Okay? So it's going to be a lot quicker. But don't, on this next program, don't create an array of pointers to objects. Okay? Create an array of objects. We'll get to that a little bit later on in here. Okay. Here on the next slide, on slide 320, it discusses some very common problems that you will most likely run into during your programming with dynamic memory and with pointers. One is garbage. If you're not careful, when you allocate memory and then later you set pointers to point to other things or you set pointers to be null, it's quite possible that you will lose a pointer to a particular area of memory which you've previously allocated. Up here, I did it quite simply and intentionally. I just said new int of 6, so it gave me a new integer, and then I pointer 1 equals null. The problem with that is now that area of memory which contains the 6 is still out there, but I can't get to it. I don't know where it's at. I've lost my access to it. And that also means I can't deallocate it. I can't delete it. So it becomes a hole in my program's memory that never really gets reclaimed. It never gets reused, never can be reused, never can be used again. It's basically garbage. Now, something that's not really a problem, but that can lead to a problem, are pointer aliases. Two or more pointers referencing the same memory location. In this case here, I've got I pointer 1 equals new int of 6, I pointer 2 equals I pointer 1. Nothing wrong with that. I can have two pointers that reference the same, point to the same location in memory. As a matter of fact, you've already, to a certain extent, even before you got in this class, you've been doing that, not with pointers, but with references. When you pass a variable by reference to some function, you then, that formal parameter now becomes an alias, and it references the same memory location as the corresponding actual parameter, right? So that when you change one, you're changing the other. Well, in a sense, that's an alias. It's an alias reference rather than an alias pointer. But it doesn't hurt anything. I mean, it works fine. We use it for function communication. However, with pointers, one bad thing that can we've got to be careful of with aliases, if we have an alias set up and we then delete one of the pointers, which deletes what it points to, I pointer 1 after this deletion here will be undefined. And if we tried to use I pointer 1, the compiler would be able to determine that, and it would bomb our program, and we would be halted with an undefined pointer reference. We could figure out what went wrong. However, if after we delete I pointer 1, if we then later on at some later point in our code, we go through and access I pointer 2, we say star I pointer 2 equals 5. What does the compiler do? Anybody? What might happen? Huh? Will the compiler stop our program? No. What might happen? Slim chance, most likely not. Yes, if during that time before I dereference I pointer 2 later on down here and set what it points to some other value, if I had previously allocated other memory, then I could accidentally be changing that memory that was reallocated because it could have been reused. That's a possibility. I can tell you because of the way most modern compilers work, that's not a strong possibility. The other possibility is that we will muck up, it'll actually go out there into memory, wherever that's at now, and it will set it equal to an integer value of 5. It'll set its bit pattern to be equal to an integer value of 5, if that's what we set it to. If we say, if somewhere later on down in here we say star I pointer 2 equals 5, it'll do that. However, and that may not cause anything bad to go wrong with our program. Even if later on down here I say, like, at some later point I say C out less than star I pointer 2, I might get the value of 6 being output again. Of course, then again I might not. I won't know for sure. If I use that in a calculation, if I say star I pointer 2 plus whatever, it may be 6, it may not. I may get integer overflow. There's no way of telling what's going to be put into that memory location. I may cause my program to bomb later on in the program. If I say later on in here, if I say star I pointer 2 equals 5, that may not cause anything to go wrong at that point, but much further on, let's say even below that, when I do another allocation, when I say give me some more new memory, then it may bomb. It may say something like I might get a segmentation fault. It might give me an attempt to execute an illegal instruction. Various things can happen. Because basically now, I have went in and changed some data that I no longer have access to, that the compiler may have went in there and connected that memory so that it can be reused. And if I go in there and change the values that the compiler set to connect things together, and then the compiler goes back in later with its own code, I say the compiler, but in a sense it's the code that the compiler has put into our program to like do the allocation and deallocation, the new and delete function. I can cause that code to basically bomb. So you've got to be very careful about this. Memory leaks are one of the prime reasons why programs are bombs.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by the bit pattern?
The bit pattern for an integer value of 5. I mean, that's binary arithmetic, okay? Most modern machines now have 32 bits, right? The first bit, the leftmost bit, is usually for integers a signed bit. 0, it's negative, 1, it's positive, or whatever, and then the other bits represent a value of a binary value. And so for the integer value 5, it would be all zeros except for the very rightmost 3 bits, which would be 1, 0, 1. Okay? And so it would set that bit pattern to that. Okay? Well, and of course, you know, if I reallocated memory into that, I could be changing some value now that I've previously set from somewhere else in my program. So a lot of different things can happen. Most of them are bad, and they may or may not bomb your program. They may or may not cause your program to produce weird results, but then they might. And it's one of the reasons why you suddenly get programs that start to exhibit non-deterministic behavior, where you'll run them one time, everything will work perfectly, you run them another time, then things go bad. That's right. Yep. The proper thing to do is, if you know, you should keep track of your aliases. Your program should bear the responsibility of keeping, if it's going to set aliases, it should have the responsibility of making sure it cleans them up. And actually, after you do the delete of iPointer 1, it would be good practice to not only set iPointer 2 equal to null, but also iPointer 1. Set all of the pointers that previously pointed to that memory, to that deallocated memory location, set them all to null. Now, just to sort of tie things together here, we have this concept of reference variables. You've already been using them. You've been using them where they were designed to be used, which was in for parameter communication in between functions. A reference, but you can actually use them in other places. Question? Okay.
If I take out the delete and I change that delete to iPointer 1 equals null, that would just set this one equal to null, and iPointer 2 would still be pointing at the 6. That's correct. Absolutely. Yeah, and quite often, you will need to use aliases to sort of change pointers around. We did it, actually, there's the code earlier in this, in the slides, when we did the dynamic resizing of the function, of the array. In a sense, right after here, where we say retarget old array pointer to new array, scores equals new array here on slide 315, at that point we have aliases. Scores and new array are two pointers that point to the same array. But we want to kind of clean that up here, so we set one of them equal to null so that we no longer have the alias. So yes, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. All right. Now, reference variables, you can define just like you can define a pointer variable to point to some memory location, you can define a reference variable. And that reference variable, you can set it equal to reference some other variable. You do that by, instead of using an asterisk, just like where you, if you were defining those to be pointers, you'd have the type asterisk and then the pointer variable name. You just say, you use the ampersand in place of the asterisk, and that defines them to be a reference variable, which is what you've been doing in the function headings when you've been passing variables. For the ones you wanted to be changed, you said the type, reference, ampersand, and then the formal parameter name. That defines that formal parameter name to basically be a reference variable. A reference variable is just an alias for other variables. They don't use, the difference is in terms, they're very closely related to pointers because they allow you to establish aliases, same way pointers do. They allow you to access other variables the same way pointers do. So that they're closely related to pointers, but they have some slight differences. They don't use the address and dereference operators. You don't use those operators in conjunction with them. When you use a reference variable, the compiler automatically dereferences it. Okay? It does that automatically, the same as it does for regular variables. It treats reference variables as only having one level of address, direct address. The reference variables are basically constant addresses, which means you can only assign them to refer to other variables through initialization or parameter passing. You can't reassign them. For example, here, I've got an A character variable defined and initialized to be hold the character A. I can then define a reference for that, char ampersand, CH ref, and I can set that equal to a car. Now that makes it a reference. If I then say CH ref equals quote B quote, that would be equivalent, logically equivalent to saying a car equals quote B quote. Because if I then, after I change the references value, if I then output the value of a car, it would be B. And of course you can see here with character pointers, you can do sort of the same thing with character pointers. The reason that this was added to the language was basically just to free programmers up from having to do the explicit dereferencing in the same way non-pointer variables do. And it was really added to the language to clean the syntax up. And that's really the only reason. Even though the language allows you to use reference variables in this manner, out besides using them inside in a function heading, you really probably won't need to do so. There aren't a whole lot of good reasons for doing so. Okay. Well, that finishes up the section on pointers.